Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're with Bruce DeTorres and World Stage on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
World Stage here, where we expose the tyrannies and explore our power with deep dives into history, current events, dangerous trends, and the nature of reality. And those who work for the truth and work to improve our situations are heroes to me. And I've said for years, action is the cure for the blues. And I want to tell you about a great upcoming series of events. Down Under, world-renowned cardiologist, public health campaigner, and best-selling author, Dr. Asim Malhotra, will be touring Australia with the Australian Medical Professional Society, sponsored by TNT Radio, beginning on May 27th. The tour will cover several cities across the country, raising public awareness about vaccine injuries and providing a risk-benefit, evidence-based analysis of the COVID vaccines, with a special emphasis on cardiovascular complications and solutions. The tour is open to the public and will provide an opportunity to engage with Dr. Malhotra and other experts in the field. Tickets will be available for purchase soon. My guest this hour is Kimberly Overton, a registered nurse in Tennessee who has worked in the healthcare industry for over 25 years. In July 2021, she founded NurseFreedomNetwork.org, NurseFreedomNetwork.org, a nonprofit to stand against the medical tyranny we are now facing by providing patient-centered care through information and education. Her larger vision for Nurse Freedom Network is to create opportunities for nurses to break away from America's broken and oppressive sick care system and empower them to create their own environments where both nurses and patients thrive. Last year, in 2022, she founded a subsidiary of Nurse Freedom Network called Remnant Nursing Services, a private membership association specializing in the consultation and care of the vaccine injured. Kimberly, it's an honor to have you here. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure. I'm on fire to help spread the word about things, the awful realities of the injuries sustained lately, and also people like yourself who are doing things to provide remedy and solutions and alternative pathways for folks to go forward, you know, empowering themselves and others. What would you please, you know, further elucidate, explain, you know, the network, Nurse Freedom Network? Is that where you steer people first or attract people first? Or do you ask them to, do you recommend that they look at Remnant Nursing Services first?
Well, you know, it's kind of like I keep the advocacy part of it with Nurse Freedom Network. And for people who are looking for services, then Remnant Nursing would be the way to go. But, you know, I think it's important. I think both organizations are important. And I, you know, they pretty much are very, you know, running side by side. But Nurse Freedom Network, you know, I started that. I was a ICU nurse. I worked through the pandemic in the ICU. I was directly caring for COVID patients. And I started becoming uncomfortable with the protocols that they were using, because from the very beginning, you know, from 2020, nothing made any logical sense to me. So I started asking a lot of questions. I ended up leaving the bedside because I started becoming uncomfortable with protocols that were being used, specifically the remdesivir, which we know it's harmful. It's oftentimes deadly to patients, yet they were using this as the number one treatment for COVID across, you know, for everybody. There was nothing individualized. It was just complete protocol. Everybody had to have the remdesivir, which by the time that these patients were getting to us in the hospital, they were already past their replication phase. So a medication like remdesivir, which is an antiviral, was not going to be effective against COVID. But we saw this medication causing a lot of issues, kidney failure, organ failure. And you know, I had to continue asking the question, why are we continuing to use this medication? It's clearly doing more harm than good. And the bigger question to me was, why was our government financially incentivizing it? So I ended up walking away from the bedside, started working from home doing telephone triage nursing, which was a good alternative for a while. But there again, I started becoming uncomfortable with protocols that they were wanting us to use. They were wanting us to recommend vaccination for everyone, including children. And they wanted us to tout that as safe and effective, period. We'd have no way of knowing that. We didn't have any safety data. So right out of the gate, it didn't meet the standard for informed consent. But Nurse Freedom Network, I started in July of 2021. And that was just to take a stand against the unlawful vaccine mandates. I recognized it for what it was early on, medical tyranny. And I knew that we had to do something. It started out as a Facebook group. That's really all it was ever meant to be. And it just kind of quickly evolved from there, where we were started protesting at local hospitals that were firing their nurses. And then we started building advocacy teams throughout the United States. We had nurse leaders building teams throughout the United States. So just quickly grew.
In 2020, how long did you stay bedside, I think you called it, before you left?
I left bedside it was March of 2021. So I guess it was a year.
Yeah.
It was about a year. Almost 18 months, I think.
Yeah. And prior to that, you had 25 years in the mm-hmm. in the industry, or 20 years, maybe it was already 25 years by then. And what was your level of enjoyment in your career? Were you already half burned out or looking for something new, or were you totally satisfied until then?
I loved nursing. I loved everything about being a nurse. I've been in healthcare for 26 years now. And, you know, I had actually went back to school later in life to get my nursing degree. So at the time I had been a nurse maybe 5 years or so. I still loved everything about being a nurse. I loved being at the bedside. One thing I didn't like, a thing that it was really depressing to me as an ICU nurse, was, you know, all of the things that we would see coming through those doors, and this is even pre-COVID, you know, about 85 to 90% of them were all preventable. Simple lifestyle modifications could have changed the trajectory for so many of these patients. So a lot of that was very depressing to me, and I started really feeling like I wanted to start focusing on more holistic nursing and just keeping people well, keeping them out of hospitals.
And how soon, when COVID came upon us and these protocols were put into place, was remdesivir instantly available? Because I believe it was an earlier developed and scary drug, right?
Yes. So if you go back to the Ebola trials of 2008, I think it was 53 or 54% of those study participants died. So when they brought this out, I can't remember exactly when it was pretty early on in COVID. When they brought it out under emergency use authorization, I feel like if they had led with that information about 54% of the study participants in the Ebola trials dying, I feel like maybe, people wouldn't have been so quick to sign on that dotted line consenting to this medication.
And what you're describing is a healthcare, you rightly call it a sick care system. It's an institution where someone in your position before COVID would trust the top down mandates, recommendations, protocols, and you just described the imposition of a drug, remdesivir, that had a 50% fatality in usage. How shocking is that? And what does that tell you about the level of, you can't call it anything less than corruption in the institution?
Yeah, and that's what I couldn't believe. And many of us weren't familiar with remdesivir when it first came out. We didn't know about the Ebola trials. A lot of us didn't even know that much about it until, you know, we started digging into it. But what we did know was that it didn't work. And that's why we couldn't understand, but we kept seeing these patients, you know, despite all of our best efforts, they just keep getting worse. And I kept asking, why are we continuing to use this medication? We did start to see, you know, after doing a little bit of research, we did find that it is, nephrotoxic, meaning it's damaging to the kidneys. And I had seen it given to patients that were already in renal failure. So none of that made any sense to me. And again, you know, using this antiviral, by the time they get to us, it's too late for that. It's already, you know, day 10, 11, the virus is not replicating any longer.
And the places
to watch and couldn't understand it.
Sorry. Yeah. And the places that you worked, maybe it was different hospitals at the same time or different clinics or different private practices. Doctors and nurses can have very, very varied, you know, places where they make their rounds and where they work. What percentage of your peers were similarly outraged? How common was the water cooler conversation that this really stinks, and how much courage did other peers have, like you, to question until you had to quit? And how much cowardice and putting their heads in the sand did you see?
Yeah, I think I saw more cowardice than I would like to admit. I think I saw more, you know, I feel like it was a total absence of critical thinking. I couldn't understand. I think, you know, fear is a very big proponent in all of this. And even the nurses, I've worked with some amazing nurses, very educated nurses, and even those nurses just weren't asking the questions. And I think it was because they had just put the fear of God into everybody. And they just had their head buried in the sand. They didn't want to see it, or they were just too afraid and just wanted to, you know, they trusted the government. They trusted the top administrative officials at the hospital. But it was not that many people were asking questions. There were a few of us, mostly on night shift, that were asking the questions. Now, when I started Nurse Freedom Network, I can remember thinking, okay, we're going to do something. We've got this in place now. And I remember thinking, all the nurses are going to be, you know, behind me. And I looked around and there was nobody. There were very few nurses that were standing up. And I built this entire network for the nurses. So I was really shocked to see that so many of them didn't stand up. And I couldn't understand it, because I can't understand putting a paycheck above human life. I mean, I didn't have the financial provisions to resign from my position either, but I didn't, right. You know, it wasn't an easy choice, but it was definitely a clear choice.
And in the 23 years at the time when COVID came you saw all this going on, did you have a similar experience in the prior years where you guys were being asked to do things that clearly didn't make sense, clearly didn't work, and actually looked very harmful? Was there anything similar in your past to this?
I really can't think of anything like this ever. In the last 3 years, like, healthcare is just unrecognizable to me. I will say that, you know, hospitals have long placed profits over patient care and safety. I will say that, because, you know, they're constantly giving the nurses, you know, more tasks, less resources, that sort of thing. But nothing to this level.
Yeah, nothing to where you're being asked to do useless and / harmful things, and you look around left and right and you see much more cowardice than you see courage in questioning it, less critical thinking. And that was all in Tennessee, right?
Correct. Yeah. And it was really disturbing to see, like, in all of my years, I had never seen, like, they started wanting to intubate patients, not because they were in respiratory distress, but because in an attempt to contain the virus, because once they're on the ventilator, that's a closed circuit system and the virus is no longer disseminating into the air. And that would be a way to supposedly protect people from getting the virus. I mean, we've already been exposed at that point. And that is the whole point of PPE. So, I mean, if the mask works, right? Why are
it sounds also
intubated?
Right, and it sounds like previously intubation was used for very specific reasons. It was not for that purpose.
Correct, because it's not about the patient in the bed. When you're intubating a patient to contain a virus, that's about everybody else except for the patient in the bed. And you don't put that patient in a high-risk procedure like that. And we knew that about 80% of the people placed on a ventilator didn't come off of it.
Right, and in New York City and New York State, We'll talk about that in a moment, but first, some very important information from TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Dirk Pohlman.
Why is it that we don't understand Chinese culture? I would say to a large degree, we do not get a picture. And also some of the most important misunderstandings, misconception, or even disinformation that we hear about China.
The West doesn't understand that China is a sovereign civilizational state, having a natural influence in her region. Sovereign means independent and having her own agency as expressed by her ruling class, her intelligentsia, and her people. Civilizational means that China has her own hierarchy of values, which sometimes coincide with the hierarchy of values of the West, but sometimes doesn't coincide with the hierarchy of values from the West. And that hierarchy of values is coming, of course, from her own history and culture. China has 36 centuries of history, and by a larger definition, China has 50 centuries of continuous cultural matrix.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Childhood slavery. Proudly supporting a greener world. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
With me is Kimberly Overton, who's created a advocacy nonprofit for patient-centered information and education called Nurse Freedom Network, and also a subsidiary, Remnant Nursing Services, and we'll thoroughly dig into that and talk much more about both organizations, Kimberly. But I just wanted to finish a quick question. In New York, my understanding is that quickly when COVID came upon us, that hospitals were told not to accept COVID patients, especially the elderly, push them into the care facilities for the elderly, where it spread quickly and caused large numbers, I'm going to say, of unnecessary deaths. And basically, sick people were told, we can't do anything for you, go home, but when you are practically turning blue from suffering, then we'll put you on a ventilator and probably give you remdesivir. Is that more or less, is that generally what happened in Tennessee, or what happened if not that?
Yeah, that's what happened everywhere. So they, you know, never have we ever done anything like this where we're turning people away that are sick and we're saying there's nothing we can do for you. Even with the virus, if we weren't going to use it, if we were outside of the antiviral window, we would still be using things to mitigate the damage caused by the inflammation. So like steroids and things like that, but they weren't doing any of that. They were actually, I can remember them saying that they couldn't use ibuprofen because it would, I can't even remember what ridiculous excuse that they used, but it was just absolutely absurd to me. But they were basically telling these people to go home and come back when they couldn't breathe. And I can remember admission criteria in my hospital where they would not, I don't care how sick these patients were, they would not admit them if their oxygen saturation level was not below 88%. And so that begs the question, are they just waiting until they're prime candidates for the ventilator and then they're admitting them, putting them on the ventilator?
Right. And in many, maybe all states, they were monetarily incentivized by the government to do those put them on the vents like that and diagnose them with COVID. I know that there is an unbelievable amount of unreliability to the COVID case numbers.
Yes.
And that this whole thing is, it's a nightmare of really unspeakable proportions, which I believe by some luck or grace, many of us can see through it and can comprehend, okay, that's the level of maliciousness and criminality and evil that we're, and but there's a huge swath of people who are still wearing masks, will still get the next booster that gets advised, and they just can't break out of their habitual worshiping and following authority. And you broke away in 2021 to create a new way for nurses to and for patients to find the information they need to better their health, and also for nurses to be able to provide care to the patients. Tell me the starting thoughts about all that, Kimberly, and now what people can enjoy at either of the organizations you have created.
Yeah, I just got to a point, Bruce, where I was like, I'm tired of begging for change. It's never coming, because we can do all of these, marches and protests and with the unions and all of that. But we're begging for change. It's never coming. It's just like with any abusive relationship. And I just got tired of it. And when I realized that I could, forge my own path, that gave me such a sense of relief. And that's really what I wanted to share with so many of my brothers and sisters in healthcare, is that there is a better way. And we don't have to be just hospital employees anymore. We don't have to be just like a doctor helper or a pill passer. I mean, that's how some people view nurses. And we are so much more than that. We're educated, we're professionals. So we can do so much without a physician, and we can do a lot more with a partnering physician who is awake and aware to what's going on. So myself, being very allopathically trained, when I got out of the system, I realized, I questioned everything. I questioned absolutely everything. I didn't come into this fight anti-vax by any means. I was pro-vaccine my entire life and nursing career. I always just implicitly trusted that those people who were in that realm were doing their due diligence, were doing all of the safety trials, and that they knew what was best. Because the level of education that nurses get on vaccines is zero. The only education that we get as nurses is safe, effective, and necessary. That's all. That's all. So I think it's definitely, we can go a different way. And this entire system, and I say it all the time, it's completely unsustainable and unfixable. We need to let it burn to the ground, and we need to build up something alongside of it that is going to focus on true patient-centered care.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's what we did need. Right. And you started nursefreedomnetwork.org first in 2021. Yes. What resources do people find there? How is that serving people? Tell me, please, all about it.
Yep. So we offer a lot of advocacy services when people are, having loved ones in the hospital, that sort of thing. And a lot of people don't know how to advocate for themselves or their loved ones. That's something that we can do. We can be a great resource to them to try to explain and help them understand what's happening. We do a little bit of that as well with remnant nursing. With that, we can do concierge nursing services. We can do consultation, and we can have our nurses, guide through and make recommendations, a lot of coaching, nutritional coaching as well, to get people on a better path, to get them off of these medications. Most people, these doctors in the allopathic system, every problem, they just throw a prescription at it. They don't ever look for the root cause of what's going on. So all of our nurses are trained in functional medicine. We are trained to be holistic and to look at the whole person and to find the root cause of what's going on and eliminate that cause, not just slap a Band-Aid on it. So that's what we do with Remnant, but we also do advocacy services as well. And we are now offering in-home services. I think as more people are waking up to what's been going on in our hospitals, they are realizing that they are safer at home with a nurse providing supportive care. If they're sick and they need maybe supplemental oxygen or they need IV therapies, they are realizing that they are safer at home with a nurse than they are at the hospital. Now, as nurses, we're obviously, we are trained to recognize any decline in their condition where they may need to get, you know, escalated to a hospital, which I don't recommend very often anymore. Mm-hmm. But when we have to do that, our nurse goes right there with them. So they then have an advocate right at their side throughout their admission.
And I kind of am inferring a distinction between your allopathic training. I think I know what that means. It's primarily
Western medicine.
It's Western, right, which is the science base, which is, I believe, the petroleum-originated pharmaceutical products. Is that too broad of a stroke, or is that a bullseye?
No, that's, yeah, you got it.
Right, which is chemically versus what you call functional medicine. Is that the same as homeopathic?
It's not exactly the same as homeopathic, but it's more like looking for the root cause and treating things in a more natural way. So using food as medicine, realizing that the body is, you know, an amazing, our immune systems are amazing, and giving our bodies the tools that it needs to support healing, whether that be through, you know, clean water, structured water is a big one. Being able to provide those types of tools to get the body to really heal itself. That's what it's designed to do. We are beautifully and wonderfully made, and we just have to support that, give our body the tools it needs to do so.
And are there resources in the advocacy at both services? And what's the website where folks can learn about Remnant Nursing Services?
Sure. Yep, that's remnantnursing.org. And we are, we're membership-based, so it's a private membership association. We're a 508c1a. Membership is required. Our plans start at $30 a month. So it's affordable, but we also have micro-franchise opportunities for nurses and other healthcare workers. Very affordable buy-ins to come in. And all of our nurses, as I said, are trained in functional medicine. We have tiers for homeopathy, IV hydrations, weight loss management, and we're going to be, I've been really praying on adding a midwifery component as well after what has happened with these OBs, basically pushing an untested product on their pregnant patients, which is something we've never done. And we don't even let them eat deli meat or change a cat litter box. And now we're injecting them with unknown substances that we have no safety data on. So I've really prayed over adding midwifery as well, because I cannot in good conscience recommend any of these OBGYNs any longer.
Before the COVID injectable materials, I don't honor them by calling them vaccines. Yes, yeah, I do sometimes. Yeah. It slips out. You're saying the standard. Are you saying the standard of care for pregnant women was to not let them change litter boxes or eat deli meat, and now they're getting where these injections are being pressed upon them?
That's correct. Yeah. So when patients are pregnant, yeah, they tell them to avoid changing. There's all kinds of toxicity and cat litter and the deli meats and all of this. Yeah, they won't even allow them to do that, but they will allow them to get this untested novel jab. And this is something we have never done with this population.
All right. I don't like to judge others, because Lord knows I've got my share of human weaknesses, right, faults, and phobias, and misconceptions, and blind spots. But to imagine all the doctors and nurses, just the doctors and nurses, let alone the administrators, who know that until COVID, that's the kind of toxicity prevention we surrounded pregnant women with, leapfrogging to take this, it's safe and effective because we say so, and it hasn't been thoroughly tested. And there has been the vast majority of doctors and nurses stayed on the job? What percentage of doctors and nurses would you guess, Kimberly, have resigned due to these ethical concerns?
Oh God, not nearly enough. I would say probably maybe 10%. I don't know, but not enough. Definitely not enough.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I feel like the majority have stayed the course and just put their head down, which is to me is just shameful. And it's, you know, at this point, is it that they're complicit in the lie, or is it that they don't know any better when they should? And, you know, I leave it to, you know, all of your listeners to decide which of those scenarios is more frightening.
Right. And I'll insert quickly a plug for the book that I wrote, Kimberly, called God, School, 9/11, and JFK, The Lies That Are Killing Us and the Truth That Sets Us Free. Because this resonates with something I describe, which is the bell curve model of humanity that I see, which is that the vast majority of humans are in the middle and we just muddle through life and we survive and we enjoy by doing one thing, what we see everybody else doing. So if everybody else just does what they're told, the vast majority will just do what they're told. And because it's shaped like a bell, if you're looking at a graph, you know, on the left-hand side and on the right-hand side are these diminishing percentages of the population. And on the left-hand side are the real heroes, the 10% maybe of doctors and nurses who've quit for ethical concerns. And on the other side are the other extremes, the real scoundrels who are implementing, profiting, and intentionally hurting people for awful, selfish, evil reasons. And I map that into you. That's how I'd break down not what happened in Nazi Germany and how you could just say, like, why do people go along? It's just human nature. And it's nice to imagine a handle on such a nearly unbelievable phenomenon. And the Nurse Freedom Network advocacy, which is advice. It's resources for advice about what specific kind of concerns besides, like, okay, my loved one's in the hospital for this, that, and the other thing. What questions should I be asking before, during, and after the diagnosis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for you know, people that are facing termination for vaccine mandates, that sort of thing, that, you know, we've helped people with medical exemptions, religious exemptions, which I'm personally not a fan of exemptions. I don't believe that we should ever have to ask for an exemption. I believe a simple declination is all that should ever be needed. Because the more we ask for exemptions, the more we give these people the illusion that they have this type of authority over us when they do not. So I'm not a fan of asking for exemptions, but that said, I have helped people. I was never going to ask for one for myself. You know, I actually was exempt. I was given a work from home employee exemption because I, at the time, I was working from home and didn't have any direct patient care. So I was exempted. So I was thankful for that. And then, you know, but then have to be faced with having to leave my job anyway because of just the ethical concerns.
Right. So when you went, yeah. So when you said that you weren't going to ask for an exemption, you were just going to say no. And if they ask why, your reason was going to be because I say so.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, no, thank you. I don't want this unknown, untested drug. I don't need it. I don't want it. I felt, you know, fine. They would ask, I declined the COVID shot. You know, my facility had not mandated it at this point. They were just strongly encouraging it. And they would send emails out every week and they had a form you had to fill out. And I would decline it every time. And then they would ask you why, and I would just never answer. It's not their business why. It doesn't matter. I just feel very strongly that we don't, and we need to stop asking for exemptions for things that they have no authority over us.
Did you develop that sense of personal authority and courage because of your parents or your family, or have you always been like that?
Yeah, I've kind of always been this way. Probably from my dad. But I've just always kind of, done my own thing and felt like, you know, nobody can tell me what to do. I'm a rebel since birth.
Well, you're a free thinking human being. We need more of it. There's the issue of critical thinking, and well, it goes back to that little model I described, like how happy folks are. Well, they just do what everybody
Well, yeah, nobody wants to be uncomfortable. That's the problem, you know, and until we are okay with being uncomfortable, we're always going to be somebody's slave. And I'm okay. I'm uncomfortable. I become increasingly more uncomfortable by the day, but you know what? I'm not anybody's slave. And I'm okay.
Right. And more and more comfortable being uncomfortable, because it's the, you do a gut check to walk a solo path. And I know, I bet, I predict, after we come back from a little break, you'll agree that as you have the courage to walk solo, you attract or find yourself walking with others of a similar mindset. My guest is Kimberly Overton, and we're talking about important things, and now you're going to hear more important things from TNT Radio.
Everything's blamed on climate change? The Warm List, a complete list of things caused by global warming.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Everything from the creation of ISIS to hate speech to impacts on babies in the womb to obesity to murders to rape, all blamed on climate change. The Washington Post claimed that climate change was leading to a rise in, quote, hate speech incidences spurred by hotter temperatures across the globe. Climate change was to blame for rising childhood obesity. According to an MSNBC guest, climate change will cause murders, rapes, and assaults to rise. Most amusing are climate change predictions that predict the opposite results. Climate change will make more rain, less snow, more hurricanes, less hurricanes, more fog, less fog, saltier seas, less salty seas. Predict the opposite outcomes, and no matter what happens, you're always right. That is modern day climate change. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio. Thanks for listening.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're with Bruce DeTorres and World Stage on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
With me is Kimberly Overton, registered nurse in Tennessee, who has formed a couple of organizations to let patients find nurses who can provide the information and often the care that they need outside the oppressive sick care system that has that is strangling America. Kimberly, are you still a registered nurse?
I am. Yeah, I'm still the great state of Tennessee found it, perfectly fine to renew my license. So I'm completely unencumbered. No complaints against my license. And yes, I am absolutely still a registered licensed professional nurse.
I am most impressed because no one can be in business or in any profession for 20 some years as you have and have no, complaints against them. It's just, someone's going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed and hate what you did one day and issue a strong complaint. So I picked up on that.
I keep telling them to come after it. they better come armed with a very strong argument, because all I'm doing is advocating for informed consent and autonomy, and those are the guiding principles of ethical nursing. So I look forward to the day that you come after.
Excellent. I love it. What came first, Kimberly, your decision to create a nurse patient advocacy environment, or discovering functional medicines, quasi-homeopathic remedies? And are these functional homeopathic modalities, were they revolutionary to you after 20-some years in the allopathic world?
So yeah, the advocacy part of it, Nurse Freedom Network, that came first. And it was really as I started to meet some other people, I really found my tribe in this, as you were kind of talking about before you went to break. And in my eyes have been peeled wide open in these last 3 years. I mean, I will never recommend another vaccine as long as I live. I have a lot of guilt and shame, related to that, because I had vaccinated children for years because I thought I was doing what was best for them. But after doing the deep dive, I can tell you that I will never recommend another vaccine. So as I started to meet these new people and my eyes were opened, I started to to see things in a different light. That's when I got the training in functional medicine, and I started to really open myself up to these things that we've been told for years to just write them off as quackery. That's mm-hmm. what's been put in our head for mm-hmm. for decades. And as we see now what happened with COVID, I think that if there is a silver lining to COVID, it is that, you know, big pharma and these captured government health agencies have really overplayed their hand. And in doing so, so many of us, doctors and nurses alike, are really waking up to what's been going on for far too long.
Indeed. And it reminds me of what Bobby Kennedy Jr. is saying in so many interviews and podcasts since he declared his candidacy 3 or 4 weeks ago about the level of agency capture by the industries they should be regulating.
Yes.
And to teach people, why, Kimberly, will you never recommend another vaccine? Do you have a stand like that on either website for either organization, or do you, just in conversation like this, can you mention resources where folks can learn why you now have that opinion of vaccines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was awakened. I go to several, you know, events. One of the events that I go to, and I actually work really closely with them now, is the American Health and Freedom Summit. I actually went to, I was a speaker at this event about a year ago, and I saw a presentation by Dr. Brian Hooker and Neil Miller, who is a science journalist investigator. And they had done a study on comparing vaccinated versus unvaccinated outcomes in children. And it was quite compelling to me, because when we look at autism, and we looked at that, you know, back what, early 2000s, when Andrew Wakefield was making that connection between autism, or trying to make the link between autism and I think it was the MMR. Mm-hmm. And somebody came out and they said, oh, that's been debunked. And we all said, oh, okay, well, never mind, it's been debunked. And we let it lie. We never thought anything else about it. And as I'm looking at this presentation they were giving, the data showed that the instance of autism in the unvaccinated was virtually zero. It was virtually zero, because now 1 in 36 children have autism at some form, but virtually zero of the unvaccinated have autism. And that was so compelling to me. And I started, you know, as I'm on this journey, I'm meeting more and more people who are vaccine injured, more and more parents, moms and dads of vaccine injured children that have been screaming for decades, and nobody, including myself, was listening to them.
Yeah. You know, we get in our bubbles, our professional bubbles, and until there is, you're right, this is an amazing silver lining, and we need to look at it like that. And we have our work cut out for us. You know, when a similar revelation hit me years ago, I stood up, half to be funny, because I can be funny. I said, you mean there's really a dragon to slay? There's really a dragon to slay? And there is.
Yeah.
You know? And to empower folks if they don't know or they're not sure, I refer folks to childrenshealthdefense.org to learn about vaccines, to learn about what Bobby Kennedy Jr. knows and talks about. It's exactly what you just described, the incidence of autism, correlating, mirroring, tracking, parallel, swimming right next to the line of growth of the number of vaccines given Americans. Yes, you know, 1 out of 34 or 36 American kids now develop some kind of autism, when 45 years ago, it was 1 in 10,000.
Exactly.
It's an assault of many toxins, but certainly, wow, the vaccine use is practically its twin in terms of prevalence.
Exactly. And they had us believing for so long that, you know, I mean, that SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, was just something sad that happened to babies sometimes. That was normal. They normalized that. And there's nothing normal about that. There's nothing normal about it. And the same way that they are now trying to normalize sudden adult death syndrome with this vaccine.
Died suddenly.
Yes. Yeah. So it's really amazing to me to see, as my eyes are open now, to look back at the things that I once found acceptable. And I'm just like, wow, I can't believe I didn't see it then. But you know, we've got to give ourselves grace for what we didn't know at the time. But when we know better, we are called upon to do better. And that is what I am trying to do and what so many of these nurses in my network are trying to do.
Can folks access the nursing services in every state? Obviously, the information is ubiquitous. It's on the internet. Mm-hmm. But what about the actual, or is that telecommunicated? So it is everywhere.
So we do everything. We are available in all 50 states, and we actually can take on members globally under our PMA. So we can do that, the virtual component of it. And we are also, as I said earlier, we're starting to do in-home services. So we are starting to contract nurses, but we vet all of our nurses. Everybody has to be a member of the PMA, and everybody has to keep the tenets of medical freedom, autonomy, informed consent foremost in their practice. And we do vet every single nurse that we bring in to make sure that they are on the same page with that. There is opportunity. So if you're a nurse and you're out there and you're mm-hmm. wanting to find a better way, you know, please reach out to us. You can send an email, you can send your resume to info@nursefreedomnetwork.org. And we do have these opportunities that are popping up in really all 50 states. We're getting inquiries for services, you know, left and right now, because again, people are starting to wake up. So we will have opportunities for nurses who are awake to what's happening.
So through nursefreedomnetwork.org, folks could talk to and maybe even get a visitation from a nurse?
No, that'd be Remnant, through Remnant.
And I thank you, remnantnursing.org, for Remnant Services, Remnant Nursing Services. And I saw that specializes in the consultation and care of the vaccine injured. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, we deal with a lot of vaccine injury and a lot of long hauler, which I think most of our long haul is either vaccine injury, because many people got vaccinated, got COVID in spite of that. And then they had all of these myriad of symptoms and they were like, oh, I have long haulers. I'm like, no, you have vaccine injury. And the other part of that can potentially be a copper deficiency. What we're dealing with long haulers, because people were taking zinc for extended periods of time. And a lot of people don't realize that the supplement zinc can significantly deplete copper stores. And many of the symptoms of copper deficiency include fatigue, brain fog, all of these things that we're seeing with long haulers. And unfortunately, our standard American diet is not really amenable to getting that copper mineral.
Is there a separate membership for the patient or the layperson? We can get a membership in which or both?
So Nurse Freedom Network is not membership based, but with Remnant, anybody can get a membership with Remnant. It's $30 a month is the one to access our services. That's the lowest. We have several tiers, but $30 a month will get you access to our services. And that is the same for nurses who might be interested in opportunities. They all have to be members of the PMA. And again, that's $30 a month.
And Nurse Freedom Network is a network just for nurses.
So it's nurses. I started it out that way, for nurses, but it's really nurses, healthcare workers, patients. I started out more advocating for nurses, but it really kind of changed to where I was advocating more for the patients, because less nurses, stood up. And I realized that I had to really put my neck out for the patients, because so many of the nurses were still, giving remdesivir. And I tell them all the time, we have absolutely every right to refuse to administer that medication, and we should. So nurses, if you're out there and they're asking you to hang a bag of remdesivir, understand that you have the right to refuse to administer, and you should be refusing to administer this harmful drug to patients. Same with the vax jabs, whatever we're going to call them this week.
And does that mean that every employment agreement between nurses and hospitals has a provision where the nurse can exercise that kind of judgment without threat of unemployment?
Absolutely. So, that's our license, right? That's our license that we are protecting. Oh, if you can imagine a scenario where nurses are too, and this is where we're at right now, nurses are too afraid to question orders. I can't tell you how many times we as nurses have had to question an order from a physician. Physicians are human. They make mistakes often. The third leading cause of death in the United States is preventable medical error. It would be higher than that if it weren't for nurses questioning these orders.
Wow.
So, yeah, but we're getting to a point where they're too afraid.
Right. And that's been the third leading cause of death, I think, for decades.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's just human nature to work in a hospital where everyone wants to get along. Just think of it as, you know, a high school with very, very educated people in white lab coats. No, it's more than that, Bruce. But the point is still human nature. Like, sure. Yeah. No one wants to be too feisty, too argumentative, or most people, I'll say, because then there's others who fearlessly speak up. And one of my pet things is to encourage folks to have the courage to do the scary thing, to speak up, even if you've never spoken up before, if you've never gone solo before, if you've never been the first to raise your hand to flag a complaint, now more than ever. And, what's next for you, Kimberly, for either or both organization? And what do you, what's the first thing you steer people to look at, to get excited about taking their health into their own hands?
Yeah, definitely to remnant nursing, as we start to build this parallel system. Another thing that we're doing is we host events, nurse conferences, and they are open to the public. I'm trying to get together a tour of the nurses to help us get around. We need to reach more nurses. That's the problem, is so many nurses are still asleep at the wheel. So we've got an amazing lineup of nurse speakers. There's about 15 of us that have spoken and presented at these conferences. They've been so impactful to other nurses and to patients alike, just giving them the opportunity to see that perspective of nurses who have worked through the pandemic, who understand what's happening, who are awake and aware, and just when they listen to what we have to say, they start to understand what's happening. So that's why we really want to get around to every city, every state, to wake up more nurses. The more nurses we're able to awaken, the prayerfully, the more lives we'll be able to save.
Are nurses basically self-employed? Is the hurdle for nurses to break away the idea
it's
of
breaking
being
that
self-employed?
Employee. Yeah, it's so breaking the employee mindset.
All right. So do you coach them into, the options of being an LLC, being an entrepreneur for the first time in your life is very scary.
Yep, we absolutely do. So we have an entire program about that. So the functional medicine program that we partner with Melissa Schreibfeder, she's an incredible registered nurse. She worked with me at Nurse Freedom Network, and she has now started the Functional Nurse Academy, where she trains nurses, allopathic nurses in functional medicine. And all of our nurses at Remnant are required to go through her course. Now she does this, outside of this as well. And she actually has it's a mentorship program, and she's telling them how to set up their own practice and all of, whether that be an LLC, a PMA or otherwise. Mm-hmm. They get the business coaching as well. And we have incredible nurses, like Nina Hart. She presents at our conferences as well. She is coaching on breaking that employee mindset. And, she went from a CEO. She was a CEO and she was fired in 2020. And, she has been able to outpace her CEO salary just on her own through consulting. So we coach people and give them the opportunity to know that they can be more than an employee. We've got to break that mindset.
Have you seen pushback from, the AMA or from state legislatures to make it harder for nurses to do this?
I haven't. Probably because I just don't pay attention to them anymore. I'm just so done with all of them. I'm just like, I'm done. I'm doing my own thing, and I could care less what they're doing. But I see them trying to keep the nurses in line, more and more when they came out several months ago with the disinformation and misinformation and talking about taking nurses' licensures away. And that's when I started telling them, listen, if the only way I can keep my license is by being silenced into submission while my patients are dying. I mean, I answer to a much higher authority than the ANA, CDC, FDA, any of those.
But there's the heart of it right there. It's people's, you know, relationship to their own abilities, because it's defining the 90% by what we said before. 10% stood up, broke away, questioned, but 90%, woo, I don't want to think for myself that hard. You know, I like, I like my routine. Exactly. We're down to our last.
It was just like you said earlier about, you know, what happened in Nazi Germany and these well-intentioned nurses, like these ventilators, they're the new gas chambers. That's it.
It is it, and that's vivid. Why remnant? What does the word remnant mean in the name of remnant nursing services?
Yeah, we are the remnant rising. Yeah, we are the remnant, the last of the nurses that are going to take care of and truly care for our patients. And the Lord is raising up the remnant, and we're here. We're faith-based.
Well, Kimberly, you're kicking butt in a great way, and courage is its own reward, and action is the cure for the blues, and it typifies the best of a faith-based life and also an American ideal of I've got rights. Kimberly Overton has been here. I've enjoyed every minute of this here on TNT Radio.